Amen. Well, I hope you're ready because this has been an exciting series we've been doing on our finances about the Shunammite woman. And it's really interesting because I knew the story was in here, but I didn't put the two together. And I keep saying 2 Kings 8 all the time. And so when I was doing some of my studying last week, during the week, I thought last week was the last part of this series. And so I looked up 2 Kings 8 instead of 2 Kings 4, and it said the Shunammite. So I started going, why is this at the beginning of the chapter? It's not until down further. And then I realized it's a different part of the story. And I got so excited about this because this is amazing. Say amazing. Amazing. Our God does things that we cannot comprehend. Let me just tell you that right now. Okay, so when we back it up a couple of chapters and we go to 2 Kings 4, right? We see that God put it on the heart of the Shunammite woman to place what? A room in her house for who? Thank you. Thank you, Reddy. The man of God. He had it on his heart to make a room for the man, or she had it on her heart to make a room for the man of God. Now, this was in chapter 4. Say chapter 4.
Chapter 4.
And did the Lord bless her? Yes, he blessed her more than she could have even spoken, right? He blessed her with a what? A child. He blessed her with her heart's desire with a child, right? And then our next week, we found out that something happened to that child, right? And what was her confession the whole time? All is well, or it's all good. That's what she told everyone she saw. Even when she got to the man of God, she still didn't say her son was dead. Her confession was, all is well. And we learned how important that is, that when you are a tither and a giver, your gift makes room for you. And we saw in that passage that even when she came to the man of God and she grabbed hold of him, Gehazi, his servant, tried to push her away. Because this is an important fact. The devil will come and he'll try to push you away and say, you don't belong here. You don't deserve to be here. He'll give you every trick in the book in your mind of why the Lord's not going to listen to you. But what did the man of God say? Leave her alone. When you come into the presence of the Lord, the devil tries to bring thoughts. You need to hear God's voice saying, leave my child alone. Your gift makes room for you. And we saw last week, what happens? The amazing. We talked about God does things supernaturally. We don't always understand why he's asking us to do the things he's asking us to do. I was remembering this week the story of Jesse Duplantis when his wife was, she got saved first. And so he was a rock star. And she would anoint him with oil after he'd passed out after the concerts. Have you heard this story? And she would anoint him every night. So he'd wake up and he'd be like, what is all of this stuff all over me? Because she just felt like he was such a sinner, he needed a lot of oil. And so he would wake up. But you know what? That's what the Lord had put on her heart, was to anoint him with oil and pray over him. Obviously, it seemed weird maybe, but it worked, right? So when God tells you to do something, even like the man of God last week, we were talking about, kind of was odd, you know, eyes to eyes, nose to nose, mouth to mouth, body to body, that he laid on the young man. But guess what? That young man got up and was healed, brought back to life again. Amen? And the coolest part we talked about was the mother didn't go to her child first. Where did she go? To her knees. She went to her knees and she gave glory to God. And I thought that was the end of the story. But say, it's not.
It's not.
Let's read. 2 Kings chapter 8. Now Elisha had said to the woman whose son he had restored to life. This is how we know who this woman is. Go away with your family and stay a while wherever you can, because the Lord has decreed a famine in the land that will last 7 years. Say 7 years.
7 years.
Say it again.
7 years.
Say it again.
7 years.
You've got to remember this. 7 years. The woman proceeded to do as the man of God said. So she had a message that came forth from the Lord of what to do, and she did it. She and her family went away and stayed in the land of the Philistines 7 years. Are the Philistines the good guys or the bad guys? Okay, remember that too. At the end of 7 years, she came back from the land of the Philistines and went to appeal to the king for her house and her land. The king was talking, just so happened, maybe accidentally, oh no, it's on purpose. The king was talking to Gehazi. Who is Gehazi? Elisha's servant, who's seen all of the miracles of Elisha. Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, and he said, tell me about all the great things Elisha has done. Just as Gehazi was telling the king about how Elisha had restored the dead to life, the woman whose son Elisha had brought back to life came to appeal to the king for her house and her land. And Gehazi said, whoa, this is the woman, my lord the king, and this is her son whom Elisha restored to life. And the king asked the woman about it, and she told him. Then he assigned official to her case and said to him, give back everything that belonged to her, including all her income from her land from the day she left this country until now. Somebody say amen. You should be shouting in this place because I've got news for you today. God doesn't look at time like we do. How many years was this woman gone? 7 years. What did he say? Give back to her not only her land, not only what was hers, but you give back to her all the money that she should have made for the last 7 years. Woo! I don't know about you, but I got so fired up when I saw this. If the devil has taken something from you while you were in the land of the enemy, you start telling him, give it back. Give it back. That doesn't belong to you. It is not an accident. When you give your tithes and offerings, God doesn't see like we do. One time in my life, I was asking the Lord about something, and I was asking him, why didn't you just show me the whole picture? And he said, because you couldn't handle it, Shelley. He's like, you're like looking at a parade, and all you're looking through is this little tiny hole in a fence. And you can kind of see here and here, and it's so cool. He said, I'm on top of the fence, and I can see everything. God can see everything. And when you give your tithes and offerings, sometimes all we see is this little hole in the fence. And that's all we're doing is all we're just looking at the problems that are right here and right now. And God does want to meet those, but your God is bigger than that. And the seed you sowed, we know she was gone 7 years, but we also know that that little boy was alive. We don't know how long, but we knew he was old enough to go to the field to be with his dad and the workers. So there was a good amount of time that went on after she gave her gift to the man of God, right? So we're talking years. Maybe you gave a gift years ago and you thought, Lord, where is my harvest? Guess what? It's not an accident. There will be a moment in time that something's going to happen and someone's going to stand up for you. Linda, this word is for you today. Someone's going to stand up for you and say, you know what? This is the woman that I was talking about and this money belongs to her. God is able, you guys, to do things we can't even imagine. And it's all about our trust and obedience. Every time the man of God told her to do something, she was obedient. It's our hearts of obedience. God has so much in store for his children today. So much in store. Maybe you're in the land of the Philistines, and it feels like you're just getting by, and you just want to go home. You just want to be at your house. Guess what? When the famine's over, the Lord's going to call you back. Until then, he's going to provide for you and take care of you. But oh, but you wait. When you come home, you're not just going to get your land back. You're not just going to get what's yours back. You're going to get everything that you should have had for the last 7 years in one lump sum. God is faithful, and your gift makes room for you. These aren't accidental things when God says, give your tithes and your offerings. And there's so many, I can't even tell you how many things when I go to do my research on tithes and offerings, that there are so many places and websites that you can go to see where people tell you tithing is not for today. Do you know why that is? Because the devil knows. He knows why it's important to tithe and to give. That's why there's so many voices saying, oh, you don't need to do that. You don't need to do that. Listen to me. I have been there. I have done that. And I have seen the miracles of God. You can't explain away $250,000, my sister's medical bills, $250,000 gone in one day. Because your gift makes room for you. And even before she was born, my parents were tithers and givers. And in that one moment, a voice came forth and said, clear this. They don't even know how it got done. When my mom talked to the guy, he started crying. He said, I don't even understand this, ma'am. This doesn't make any sense, but this bill is gone. The Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he is no respecter of persons. If you give your tithes and offerings, what he did for my parents, he can do for you. What he did for the Shumanite woman, he can do for you. Pastor Steve and I, we've shared about this before. The year before, the Lord told us to give something that was way beyond our means, which is amazing now because we give this doubled every year. Off the top. But at that point of our lives, we couldn't have given that amount in the natural. And we gave it. And the next year, a hundredfold harvest came and wiped out our second mortgage. Wiped it out. Let me say it again. Wiped it out. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he is no respecter of persons. What he did for us, he can do for you. What he did for the Shumanite woman, he can do for you. Are you listening to me today? Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. Nothing. Let me ask you something. Did this Shumanite woman ask for any of this? No. God just blessed and blessed and blessed. Why? Proverbs 18:16. A man's gift given in love or courtesy makes room for him and brings him before great men or before greatness. Whatever in your life seems impossible, you need to start seeing it as possible with God. It's not impossible. It is possible with God today. You give your gift out of a heart of love and just desiring to give back to the Lord, and he will provide for all of your needs exceedingly and abundantly above all you could ask or imagine. I don't know about you, but I'm so grateful that God likes the Old Testament just as much as he likes the New Testament. Aren't you? I'm so grateful he included this portion of the scripture because there are so many things that are relatable to today if we'll just open our eyes and let him show us. A Shumanite woman. Us girls were talking yesterday about how that we're specially designed for a purpose. And this woman's purpose was to show us some 250,000 years later, maybe even more, that if you will give your gift, it'll make room for you. Pretty cool. What is your life going to tell someone else? What is your life going to share with someone around you? I don't know about you, but I want to be specially designed to be a voice to the world around me that God is not a mean God. He's not finished with us. He's not trying to take from us. But he's a loving God who wants to just give to his kids because he loves us so much. Grab your tithes and offerings. Whew, Lord, you are amazing. Amazing, amazing. You know our heart's desires. And you give them to us, and when the enemy tries to come in like a thief to steal, kill, and destroy, you are greater than. And you bring life and life more abundantly. And you go ahead of us. You go ahead of us, Father. Even before things get to us, you make a way. You make a way. We praise you, Father, for the story today. And we thank you for the end. That not only did she receive back her land, what was hers, but she received the last 7 years of what her land would have brought forth. A harvest, Father. We praise you, Lord, today for the harvest to come in. Lord, I pray that wherever people's money is being held back, you would put Gehazi's. That you would put voices there to say, you know what? Wait a minute. This isn't right. Somebody didn't do right by this. This needs to be changed. And that, Father, it's going to come at a moment in time that we will know that we know that we know it was you. And it will be such a great harvest, Father, that it will be a testimony not only to this church and the people in it, but it will be a testimony to that person's families, that it will be a testimony to their friends of the goodness of God to take care of his people. And Lord, I just pray for every person in this room that is a tither and a giver, Lord, that they would begin sharing when you do something. It doesn't matter how small it is, but they would begin sharing with those around them of the goodness of God and say, I am a tither. I give my 10%. And the Lord blesses me and blesses me. Can I tell you what he did this week? Can I share with you what he's done for me? And Lord, through those testimonies, people are going to, they're literally going to be like, really, again? God did something for you again? Yes, you should try this. Come to my church. You should try this. Be a tither and a giver and see what God will do for you. And Lord, we would begin sharing of your goodness, letting our light shine that all men would be drawn unto you. The world has so much negative, God, so much down things that happen. Let our voices be a light to what God can do. We praise you and we thank you for blessing every seed. We call in a hundredfold harvest in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
A party place, amen. When we get to heaven, I believe there's gonna be a party. In fact, the word of God says there's gonna be a party, right? The marriage supper of the Lamb is going to be a party like no other. You think, did anybody watch the latest royal wedding on television, right? Or see, oh, you're bringing me hugs. I love you. Thank you, girls. Thank you so much. Amen. Well, anyway, if you saw any of that on television or read anything about it, cool thing, amen. But let me tell you what, and it was exclusive. You couldn't just show up and be there, right? And guess what? Same thing in heaven. Not everybody can just show up and be there. If you weren't invited, right? You can't come. How do you know you're invited? Are you born again? Then you're invited. And you're going to be there. Amen? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Well, let's pray over this word. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this message today that you have for us. We ask your Holy Ghost to be here with us, to give us ears to hear and eyes to see and hearts to respond to what your Spirit is saying. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say amen. And just, you know, another thing to tag on with the wealth and riches, right? There's warnings in the Bible about wealth and, you know, but the Word of God says there is a wealth from the Lord that adds no sorrow with it. The love of money is the root of all evil. Money is not the root of all evil. The love of it is. And it's amazing how many people are vocal in the body of Christ about the evils of, like, prosperity as a cuss word. Be praying for me, because in a few weeks, as the Lord would lead, I'm gonna bring a message to you that more closely defines who we are as a church. Because I've had people come to me with questions in the past about things, and bring arguments and disagreements and things that they've read about online about people like us that believe this way. And I feel stirred, because the latest one I got was a very detailed breakdown of objections people have with faith churches. Is faith in the Bible? Did Jesus say, Did Jesus constantly ask his guys, where is your faith? Right? So yeah, we're a faith church. But I'm feeling stirred to bring a message, you know, just in response. So I can tell people like that that come in, welcome. But I'm not going to go have coffee with you and have lunch with you so you can rip down Kenneth Copeland and others like this. No, no, no. But I feel a stirring to just take each point line by line and show biblically why this is who we are. This is who we are. This is who we are. So no, I won't go have lunch with you, but you can download this message online and that should answer your questions about just who in the world you are, right? Who in the world are you, Pastor Steve? It sounds like you said the word prosperity. Sounds like you said rich. Well, let me tell you this. Let me tell you, let's use this example. Did Phil Knight have any influence in this world when he made his latest commercial that put, you know, the athlete that is disrespecting the flag of the United States of America on a commercial, right? Now, that's the power of wealth, right? The power of wealth says, so what? I'm just going to do it. And Phil Knight, God bless him, right? He's from the 60s, you know, all those kind of things. I get it. Praise God. By the way, Christians are not racist, right? We love people no matter what color of your skin, what nationality. If Jesus is Lord of your life, hallelujah. I just don't think that football Sunday is the time to share your, you know, disbeliefs and disrespect the flag and talk about your protesting and all. No. Do that on your own time. Use social media, whatever, right? Praise God. I'm not saying there's never been a bad thing done by a police officer to an African American or to anybody else. Amen. But there's a lot of good police officers out there. I do not like turning on the TV and seeing advertisements for new TV shows that are going to poke fun at police officers. No, I'm not down with that, right? Amen. No. But let me tell you this. If you're rich, good things can happen. More good things can happen. Amen? If we're getting more wealthy and blessed financially, we can be more of a voice in the world for what God wants to do. Amen? For what God wants to say. But if the church insists on poverty, insists on prosperity and wealth as a cuss word, then we're going to be under the devil's foot. And I'll tell you what, that's not where you belong. You are a son and daughter of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And let me tell you something. He makes Mr. Trump look like a homeless man compared to what our Father has. Amen? So somebody just say, I'm open to it, Lord. I'm open to it. Praise God. And how do you know money is not your God? You're a tither. You're a giver. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So these are great things that God is doing in the world. Amen? So we don't need to shrink back from the things God is doing in this place. And God is very involved politically. He wants to be very involved politically. He wants to be very involved in the economy, very involved in education, very involved in the church, obviously. But he's not limited to the church. Amen. Don't you know, if you just read through Revelation, there's a city coming down from heaven. There is a city on the way, the New Jerusalem. And when it lands in Jerusalem, on planet Earth, right, on the Day of Atonement or the Day of the Lord, however that reads in the Word of God, there's tremendous, if you look at Leviticus 23, I think it is, it's amazing. It outlines it in the Feasts of the Lord. It's a city with a government. Amen. And it's going to, you know, God is now, at that point, on the leader of the world, like it's always supposed to have been. Amen? So all that to say, and guess what? It's a nice city. Gates of pearl. I mean, streets of gold. Praise God. God likes a little bling bling, doesn't he? Amen? So that's why you do. You're created like him. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, we're continuing on 9 fruits and 9 gifts. 2 more messages on this, and then we're going to, like I said, God's got a couple more things for us to get to. Praise the Lord, but let's get to this. Romans 15:13 is our foundation for this, it's been for this series for much of the year. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. In Acts 1, verse 8, but you shall receive power. Somebody say power, right? When the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Praise the Lord. So see, you're from the power family. Financial power, health power, wisdom power, knowledge power, you're from the power family. Miracle power, absolute power. How much power does God have? Absolute power. Amen? Praise the Lord. There's not a committee that helps God make decisions. I met a pastor once, and he told me, and I was asking him stuff because he's with a bigger church than we are, and I was talking, hey, tell me about your routine. How do you get ready for your services? And he said, well, first of all, I get my messages from a committee, and then I spend my time over here reading it and getting to. I was like, what? That's interesting. Well, praise God. I'm sure good things come from the committee, but God is not run. I don't think heaven's run by committee. Amen. And I read something, there's some great Jewish books out there that, what's the one? I can't remember. I have a study book at home that I refer to sometimes with Old Testament things, a great wealth of riches in there from our connections in the Jewish faith, and amen. But one of the things that they said that I found issue with in the Word was that when God created the heavens and the earth, and he said, let us make man in our image. And a big thing in the Jewish faith is one God. One God. And I love Joseph Shulam, Rabbi Joseph. He said, you know, a lot of Jews have issues with Christians because Christians think God is two guys and a bird. I thought that was hilarious, right? But the word one, when it says the Lord our God is one, it also means unity. Unity. But I looked specifically at the verse where it says, let us make man in our image. And in this reference book, the sages, the rabbis that are not necessarily born again rabbis, right? But, you know, Jewish tradition and all these things, they said that God, when it said, let us make man in our image, he says he gathered some angels together. Angels, what should we do in order to create the heavens and the earth? So in other words, it was denying the fact that there's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? Well, guess what? There's a Father, there's a Son, there's the Holy Ghost, and there's the Godhead. And God didn't ask Gabriel. He sure didn't ask Lucifer. Amen? Praise the Lord. So we go to the Father. We come right to Jesus. That's the beautiful thing about Christianity. The Word of God teaches you go to God yourself. You don't go to God through your priest. You don't go to God through a prophet. We come through Jesus, yes, right? But you have access yourself to the Father. And you should be taking advantage of that every day. Amen? We have the Word of God. We have the Holy Spirit. We have church. Worship music, man, you can go onto iTunes or anywhere online now. There was one of the gals on the chat this morning on the EMIC's Faith Foundations class that I attend regularly, and she was talking about a new car she got that doesn't even have a CD player now. She said, I just Bluetooth everything, yeah. And it was like, how cool is that? I mean, I like my CDs, amen. But she was talking about how she has to download everything down to listen to it. It's like, man, there is so much faith out there that there wasn't many years ago, right? But all we got to do is what? Tap into it. There's no excuses. Somebody say no excuses for not knowing. You just got to Google it, tap into it, man, right? The worship music, the Word of God being preached, praise God. He is good, amen? And there is so much out there that we can be learning and understanding. But today's message is receiving and activating the fruits and gifts of the Holy Spirit for our lives. In 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 and then 7 through 10, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Somebody say, we are one body. And I don't mean just this building and this group. We're one with the body of Christ around the world. That's why these people that make websites and write books about the evils of whatever in the body of Christ is so evil. Why? Because they're sowing discord among brethren. They're accusing ministers of the gospel, some of these folks, of teaching on things that are in the Word of God, right? And we are one body. Somebody say one body. That means Baptist Church, Presbyterian, anybody who names Jesus as Lord of their life, the death and resurrection and ascension and sending of the Holy Ghost, that's my brother. That's my sister. Amen? Now, they may not agree with every little jot and tittle that we preach, but you're still my brother. You're still my sister. Praise the Lord, right? And these gifts are for the profit of the body of Christ. For the profit of the body of Christ. So these men and women that I'm sharing today that are publicly criticized by name, right? Many of these people are gifts to the body of Christ. Amen, right? For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Amen? But it's important to remember who all these gifts are from, right? The Holy Spirit. And He lives in you. So therefore, in the same church service, one person can get some wisdom, another person can get some faith, another person can get some kind of interpretation for something they're going through, another person can get healed, all in the same church service. Because the gifts of the Spirit are all operating through the same Holy Ghost. Praise God. But there are people in the body of Christ that excel in these gifts. I think of John Hagee, right? Prophet. Prophecy, you know, he talks about end times a lot. Brother Copeland, faith, right? Sister Joyce Myers, teaching. Gloria Copeland, teaching. Amen. Billy Burke, Benny Hinn, and others, healing, right? So there are definitely people that excel at certain parts of these things, but we don't have to wait for them to come into town to tap into it. Amen. You can tap into it, right, on your Bluetooth and listen to them teach and so forth. But the Holy Ghost, where is He? He's on the inside of you. He's on the inside of you. So if you need healing, you don't have to go find somebody to lay hands on you. The Holy Ghost tells you to do that, man. Do it. Praise God. But He's on the inside of you. Your healing is as close to right here on the inside of you. For your kids, for your family, lay hands, anoint. You are the minister of your house. Take authority, man. Drive the devil out. He is not welcome. I heard somebody say once when the devil realized he couldn't defeat the church, he decided to just go ahead and join it. And what does he do? He sows strife, division, discord, right? And he's going to pay. Amen. But these gifts of the Holy Spirit are for the body of Christ. And somebody say, that's me. That's me. Amen. So they're for you. But today I want to look at specifically the gifts of prophecy and discerning of spirits. Prophecy and discerning of spirits. And there's another message that we have online that I ministered on, I don't know, maybe a year ago, called Receiving Prophecy. That's another good thing to look at if you're interested in more on this. But prophecy, one of the definitions that I liked in particular with this message is the definition in the concordance, inspired speaker, right? Inspired by the Holy Ghost, specifically with the Word of God, right? Amen. So a prophet is speaking what they hear God told them to say. Amen. And it can deal with things regarding the future. God gave us a prophetic word this morning during our worship time when He said, you're a church, believe for 1,000. He showed us in the Word. Look around. Can you count 1,000 in here right now? But I'll tell you, there's 1,000 angels or more right here right now. But He gave us a word. And He said, I need you guys to be open to this and to see it. Right? That's what prophecy does. Amen? Praise God. Discerning of spirits, and that word discerning in the concordance again, which is a direct definition through, you know, biblical studies of the words, right? Strong's concordance is what I primarily use. Discerning means judicial estimation, judge. Praise God. Amen. Judicial estimation or judge. So in other words, we have to define in the body of Christ who and what we're supposed to be judging. Because there is a lot of folks, like I was sharing earlier, of taking the judgmental thing and made it judging people. And one of the biggest issues that those folks out, I'm not even going to talk about who their names are, because then I'd be doing the same thing they're doing, okay? But one of their big things is you're acting like God, faith churches. You think you're God. And they're lying to the body of Christ about that. I've never heard Brother Copeland tell me you're God. But I sure should be acting like him. Amen. Right? Because I'm his son. Growing up in the fullness and stature of Christ. Amen. But you know what? The very ones that tell you you're acting like God, they're judging you. That's God's job, brothers and sisters. Judging people is God's job. Judging words and philosophies and spirits is my job. And how do I do it? Through the law book, the Word of God. Amen? I don't call people out by name and write books about them and build websites on them and take clips of their messages and play them online and then criticize them. That is judgmental of people. That is acting like God in terms of saying, I'm putting myself in the place of God. Right? Amen. But discerning of spirits is what we're called to do as the body of Christ. Amen? Let's look at this. John 1:1 says this, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So it's important to remember we always begin with the Word. What's the Word say about this? What's the Bible say about this? And a lot of folks that broadcast these things will many times have scriptures for you. Well, did you know the devil also knows what the Bible says? Right? And we have scriptures in the Word, in the faith camp to show that this is why we believe what we believe. So it just comes down to, what do you believe? What do you see in the Word? What's the Holy Ghost telling you? And I'm not going to get into, you know, a war of words with you, brother. Amen. Is Jesus Lord of your life? Yes, mine too. We're family. Amen. And then just leave it, right? But we're using the Word. We have to come to the Word of God. When you're judging spirits, when you're looking at prophecy, we need to first come to the Word of God. Otherwise, anybody that comes to you and says, I'm a prophet, I have the gift of discerning of spirits, there's some goofy stuff out there too, man. That's why Christians, believers in Jesus, need to know what's in the Bible. So you don't just accept every little thing that anybody says, right? We judge it. We don't judge the person. We judge what they're saying according to this. Amen? According to what the Bible says. So that's why that we're in the beginning was the Word. We begin with the Word. We begin with the Word. We come to the Word of God. We don't come to the prophet. We don't come to the person who has the gift of discerning of spirits to get our wisdom. I've heard stories in the old days of meetings where people would be coughing into bags. Why are you doing that? The Holy Spirit told us we're to cough the demons out into bags and then tie the bags up and throw them out. Goofy. I remember Pastor Huck used to say, he shared some of those things. He said, man, if the demon isn't strong enough to get out of that bag, just leave him in there. He's not going to cause any harm. Right? So goofy stuff. Amen. We got to come to the Word. People saying, you know, the Lord told me I was supposed to divorce so-and-so and marry so-and-so. The Holy Spirit told me. Where's that? Where's that example in the Bible? Right? We come to the Word. The Holy Ghost will not go crosswise of the Word of God. Amen? And a prophet shouldn't go crosswise of the Word of God. Amen? Somebody say amen. Look at Ephesians 1. So since we're talking about the Word, let's look at it. Amen? Ephesians 1, 15 through 23. Somebody say, Lord, open my eyes and my ears to hear your voice. Amen? See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Now see, that's a big thing. With, the criticisms on faith. Why are you believing for prosperity? Because I believe that's God's will. I understand that God's will is for me to prosper and be in health. Oh, so you're one of them health and wealth? Yes. Yes. I'd rather be that than poverty and sickness, church. That's offensive to my God. That's offensive to Jesus. He paid with his blood. That'd be like me disrespecting our country, right? And all these men have over the years given their lives and me burning the American flag, even worse than that. But you know, that's an example, right? Somebody's blood was spilled so I could be blessed, right? So the Word of God is telling me to understand what the will of God is, and then I'll be able to judge and discern the truth from the lie. Amen? Do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Amen. Don't be out there drinking. Drink the Holy Ghost. Well, I need my liquor. No, you don't. You need the Holy Ghost. He's the one that fills you with the joy and the peace. And you don't get DUI tickets and beat people up and wake up in a mall fountain. If you want to Google something hilarious on YouTube, Tim Hawkins, I don't drink beer. It's one of the funniest songs you'll ever hear in your life. And he it's this story about why he doesn't drink beer. And he took an old Stephen Curtis Chapman song called I Will Be Here that he wrote for his wife. He's kind of a parody Christian comedian. And he changed the title from I Will Be Here to I Don't Drink Beer. And one of the things he says in there is, I don't want to wake up on Sunday morning in the mall fountain, so I don't drink beer. Amen. It's funny, but there's a lot of this in the body of Christ where people are just acting like the world and saying, that's okay, it's grace. Jesus turned water into wine. Well, first of all, that was a cultural thing then, right? Right now, tell me something good. Tell me something good. Tell me something good associated with alcohol. Anything, right? Well, you know, you could find, it's like, just turn the commercials on. There ain't nothing good. Church is over. Let's hit the booze. No. Be filled with the Holy Ghost, man. And isn't that what they said in Acts when they all came out and they're praising God and speaking in tongues and worshiping God? And everybody said, man, those people are drunk. No. We are filled with the Holy Ghost. Filled with the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost does not show up on a breathalyzer test. He won't make me go hit my wife or hit on somebody else's wife. Come on. Or wake up in the mall fountain. Somebody say, I'm drinking better stuff. I found something better to drink. I found something better. Hallelujah. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Wives, submit to your own husbands. Hallelujah. And Pastor Steve, guess what? Is in the wrong chapter. But that was some good preaching. That was some good preaching. I wish I could say I've never done that before, but you've been here longer than that to know. That was good stuff, though. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. I guess the Holy Ghost wanted somebody to hear that somewhere. Amen. Therefore, here we go. Ephesians 1. Therefore, I also, Sometimes if you've been drinking, you start kind of dazing off. And sometimes, you know, it's good for your pastor to come to church a little drunk in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease. See, that's why I don't get offended at these folks I was talking about. Why? They're offended at me. But I don't have to be offended at them. They're my brother and sisters, I think. If Jesus is Lord of your life, amen. I love you, brother. Amen, right? So our faith in the Lord Jesus and our love for all, somebody say all the saints. All the saints. All the saints. Praise God. Do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Why is this important? So you can discern. Amen? So you can discern the truth and the lie, right? And what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance? Yes, riches. Somebody say riches, right? Of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power? See, a cold doesn't have the right to dwell in my body. Well, how do you know that? Because of the exceeding greatness of his power is inside me. Hallelujah, right? Toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead, praise God, and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. But he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Somebody say, to the church. He gave you the responsibility, right? Head over all things. Think about Genesis 1, when God created Adam and gave him this thing called dominion. Dominion on the planet. Adam was not a caveman. Adam. Ugh. Fire. Adam was not a caveman. He was created in the likeness and image of God. You know what he was a caveman to? The curse. To poverty, to death, to sickness. Adam, because you sinned, you will surely die. Die? Poverty? Sweat? Toil? He had no clue what that was. But brilliant. He made Einstein look like less than a kindergartner. Right? Don't they say Einstein only used like less than 10% of his brain? That's part of the curse, man. Right? Adam fully in the likeness of God. And Jesus says, Jesus redeemed us from everything Adam lost. Praise God. Right? And God gave you back the authority and then some. Why? Because you're going to need it on this planet. Amen? Which is his body, the church, which is his body, the fullness of him. Listen to this. Listen to this. He gave you, the church, his body, right? You are the body of Christ, which is the fullness of him, right? Who fills all in all. Praise the Lord forevermore. As the church, you have the right to the fullness of God dwelling inside you. Does that make you God? No, but you're his son. You're his daughter. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, right? And that helps you in these. That's why this gift of discerning of spirits and prophecy, these things apply to you because you are the body of Christ. You have the responsibility to these gifts too. Amen? I think of the story of the servants that God came and gave talents to. Right? And the one servant buries his talent. Well, that's what people are doing with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Well, I can't be trusted with those. Those gifts aren't for today. Those passed away with the apostles. I don't believe any of that. I've been taught too many. I've been thought that was wrong. And the one that uses some of them and reaps, you know, and the other one just goes and, man, makes it happen. You know what? Full throttle. Somebody say full throttle. Welcome to Full Throttle Church. We're taking everything Jesus got for us and just going for it. Amen? Why? Because if he gave it to me, it must be something I need to use. Amen? And something he's going to be asking about when he comes back. Steve, I gave you those gifts. Why didn't you tell the church about them? I'm doing it. I'm doing it right. Amen. We're loosing the Holy Ghost to fill his body and his body to go and do it, man. Amen. Praise the Lord. Look at 2 Peter. 2 Peter directly follows 1 Peter, if you were wondering, right? And I'll make sure I go to chapter 1, verses 16 through 21. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we can't lose sight of the fact that Jesus is coming back. Somebody say, Jesus is coming back. Could be today. Could be before dinner. Jesus is coming soon. Amen. Praise the Lord. Made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Somebody needs to hear that today. God is not mad at you. He is well pleased with you. If Jesus is Lord of your life, all he sees is his son, his daughter. He is well pleased with me. Say that. God is pleased with me. Yeah, so get off yourself. Stop smacking yourself around about stuff. Amen? Praise the Lord. And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Right? For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So prophecy is a gift of God. People who have the gift of prophecy, who excel in the gift of prophecy, are gifts to the body of Christ. Amen. But the Holy Ghost, who the gift comes from, lives on the inside of you. So you can see things in the Word and say, you know what? I'm not seeing this right now in my life, but I claim it. I prophesy in Jesus' name that I'm healed because I see it in God's Word. I prophesy another 1,000 to the church because I see it in God's Word. I prophesy prosperity over me and my family because I see it in God's Word. Amen? And we allow the Holy Ghost to show us and turn the light on in our spirits, right? Praise the Lord. John 6:63 says this, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life." Jesus said this, "The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life." And the reason this verse jumped out at me was because it reminded me, we're talking about the gift of discerning of spirits also. Words, somebody say, words are spirit. Not just Jesus' words, right? Anybody's words. Amen? That's why the kid that's grown up in church and is going to a university or even to a public school, even sometimes Christian schools, need to have your gospel ears on. Need to have your Holy Ghost antenna up, because you might hear something that is directly adverse to the Word of God. And you'll have to reject it. You don't have to stand up and say, "I rebuke you, professor, in the name of the..." No. But you have the right to edit what you take in, right? Most computers, I would say probably all computers nowadays, have antivirus wear on them, right? And emails could be a spam, spam alert. We're watching old episodes of Lost in Space at my house. I'd never seen it before. And I was like, and we got addicted, my whole family. And you know, the robot walks around, danger, danger. Well, that's what your spirit does on the inside of you. Danger, danger. That is not of the Word of God. Amen? And we need to be smart enough sheep to say, no, thank you. I don't believe that. I don't receive that. Amen. And there's been times, even in college with me, where there were times where the Lord used me to say something. I remember one time I was in class and I had a professor that said something that all black people look the same. Right there at the college. I'm in the back row. Just, yes? I don't believe that. I was like, whoa, what is that? This racist stuff right here in class. Like, no, sir. No, sir, they don't. But you know who do look the same? Racists. They all look the same. I didn't say that, but that's what I wanted to say. One professor I had in college just rated our language. Just every foul word, like it was the word is. And finally, about you know, a week into that, I thought, this is bothering me. You know, I don't like hearing that. I could stay home and watch HBO instead of paying money to be here listening to Professor Smart Guy. So, but I was in the Lord showed me how to approach it. So after class one day, I walked up, sir, hi, my name's Steve, I'm in your class. Could you please turn off the cussing? Because it bothers me. And if my mom or wife or somebody was in this class, that's not cool, man. And you know what he did? He said, thank you. Thank you for not doing this in front of the whole class, but coming to me. And he cut it off. The Lord will show you if there are times. Sometimes it's just not even worth dealing with it. You know, you just have to ictionate it in your spirit. What are you doing? Discerning spirits. Words are spirit. There's this thing at home I have called remote control. And there's oftentimes something starts talking in my house and I can either press mute. No thanks, cancer's not welcome in my house. I pray that person gets healed, but I'm not going to listen to cancer in my house. Nope. Fornication, you know. Alcohol, nope, not welcome. Shut your mouth. Didn't Jesus tell this to demons? He didn't even let them talk, did he? He would say, be quiet and come out of him. And guess who he's transferred that anointing to? His church. So we have the right in the spirit to say, devil, be quiet. Health issue, be quiet and come out of him. Come out of them. In the name and by the blood. What are you doing? You're discerning spirits and you're prophesying. What's prophesying? You're telling the devil how it's going to be. Forget prophesying to yourself and to other people. Prophesy to demon spirits. Tell them how it's going to turn out. You know what, sickness? Let me prophesy something to you. And I love brother, I think it was... I'm sorry, I forget his name, but he talked about rocking the devil to sleep with the rock of the word. Take the rock of the word and rock him to sleep. Amen. What are you doing? You're discerning that thing is not welcome in your body, in your house. I've been doing this differently where my blood pressure is concerned. Lord, when are you going to heal? When is it? No. Praise God. It's been better. But you know what came to me most recently? I'm just starting to say, I'm healed. I'm just starting to talk to myself saying, no. No, high blood pressure. Be quiet. Be normal. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. What are you doing? You're discerning that thing is not welcome in your body. That thing is not welcome in your house. And you're speaking spirit words. And saying, this is how it's going to be. Amen. Praise the Lord. So see, you have the right to operate in these gifts. You can walk around your schools, your workplaces, take authority, bind and loose on the highways. Amen. No evil will befall me or my family. Praise God. Peace and protection at school. Hallelujah. Health and prosperity, the joy of the Lord. People in my family and my friends are getting saved, coming to Jesus, open to the gospel. Praise God, right? What are we doing? We're using words like Jesus used them. Amen? Somebody say, no wasted words. That's why I have to work on not being sarcastic or saying things I don't mean. And in America, we're used to things like sarcasm and saying things we don't really mean. Right? And we have to, there's a couple of people I've been watching on these old TV shows. I think it was one of like the dad in Lost in Space and somebody else I was watching, but you know, old shows, and they refer to the Bible a lot in these shows. But one of the things that I really enjoy about that, and there was another one, it'll come to me, but they're very sincere. They say what they mean. Amen? In love, right? But none of this just being nasty and joking and throwing words around, you know. No. Be sincere. Amen? And use the word wisely, right? And then 2 Corinthians 11:4 says this, and no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Right? So we have to be smart sheep. Satan knows what the Bible says. Right? Just look at the 40 days that Jesus was tempted by the devil in the wilderness. He uses scripture. And guess what? The devil's been around a lot longer than you have. And he's tricked a lot more people than me. So where's the hope? Your hope is in Jesus. Your hope is in the Holy Ghost and knowing what the Word of God says. Right? Amen. And being able to recognize what's truth and what's lie. That's why these people that come against places like this, by name, naming people, I can say, you know what? I'm not going to write a book about you or even mention your name in church. But that is incorrect. You are judgmental. You are judging the body of Christ. You are sowing discord among brethren. And I wouldn't want to have to answer that. Right? Amen. Because they come like an angel of light. The people that create lies and so forth, the devil sometimes comes out. Now, forgive me, I'm not coming and calling them devils, because I've got to watch it. It's a fine line, right? Because the devil tries to catch you in your words and bring you on the same side that thing is coming on, right? So we speak God's word in love, amen? But we recognize what's truth and what is not truth, right? Amen. This is how many false religions began. Prophet so-and-so had a vision, they'll say. Right? Well, even if an angel appeared at your door, right, you need to test that angel. Because the devil can appear as an angel of light. Amen? The enemy can appear, as somebody offering you something. I've heard stories of, you know, you'll make $2 more an hour if you move across town to this other place, and then you got to leave that church. And so you're unplugging from that church where God's been feeding you and your family to move across town for $2 more an hour. That's called, you know, falling for getting duped, basically, right? So we have to be smart sheep. We got to know what the word says, what God has asked us to do, and stick to it. I heard on a sports radio talk show this week, God even speaks to me when I'm listening to sports sometimes. But they were talking about the Kentucky Derby and how those horses wear blinders and all they can see is out ahead of them, right? And that's how we have to be with the Word. We've got to be so focused on Jesus, so focused on His words, so focused on Him that all the other ambient noise and stuff, we just don't even acknowledge it, right? Why? Because we are on a course with God. Amen? Now, finally, I want to read to you this. This is a great example of all these things we're talking about. 1 Kings 22. Hallelujah. I love when the Holy Ghost teaches us. Somebody say, teach me, Lord. Teach us, Lord. Hallelujah. See, a lot of the body of Christ would just rather Jesus just do everything. That's some of the objections of these folks too, is what do you mean you can use your faith to move mountains? Who do you think you are? What about the sovereignty? You know, it's almost like if God put a disease on you, then he must have this greater purpose. No, I ain't buying that. I ain't buying that. If you knocked at my door selling that, I wouldn't buy it. I wouldn't even welcome you in the house, right? Amen. No, Jesus did it all at the cross with his blood, and then he transferred his authority to his church. We just look at that in the word, right? So what does that mean? That means you and me, we have a part to play. Our faith is, Jesus is real up on where is your faith, right? Why? Because your faith is required. You have a part. Somebody say, I have a part in this, right? You're not earning anything from God, but you have a part to play. Your words have a part to play in how things turn out for you, right? Now, that's not saying you're putting faith in your words, right? We're putting faith in God's word. But you are a spirit being. So if you walk around saying things like, Grandpa died at 50, Great-grandpa died at 49, Uncle Johnny died at 46, I'll probably die around then too. Yikes. You don't realize that the power of your words is creative because you were created in the image of God. So what do you say in that type of situation? Even though Grandpa went home to be with Jesus at 50 and Uncle Johnny's home with Jesus at 47, I'm going to at least double that. What did you just do? You prophesied life to yourself. Based on what? Based on what Jesus did for me already. Right? Amen. So this is the kind of things we're talking about. Amen. So 1 Kings 22. I'm going to read the first part of this. Now 3 years passed without war between Syria and Israel. Isn't it funny? We're still hearing the same news about the same countries in the world, right? Why? Because there are spiritual forces in charge of different parts of the world. Amen. Doesn't mean the people are all going to hell. Absolutely not. There's probably beautiful believers in Syria. Then their lives are in danger, right? So we pray for them. Amen. Then it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went down to visit the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said to his servants, do you know that Ramoth and Gilead is ours, but we hesitate to take it out of the hand of the king of Syria? So he said to Jehoshaphat, will you go with me to fight at Ramoth Gilead? Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as you are and my people as your people, my horses as your horses. Also Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, please inquire for the word of the Lord today. Now that is, you know, we need more leaders like this that will ask God about, that will inquire of the Lord when making decisions. Amen. And praise God they're in there. Amen. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said to them, shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to fight, or shall I refrain? So they said, go up, for the Lord will deliver it into the hand of the king. So what? 400 prophets he had, probably paid, salaried. And so they all had to probably get together and say, what are we going to say? What are we going to say? We all got to say the same thing. We're prophets, right? Amen. Were they seeking God? Well, they're prophets, supposedly, right? Here we go. Let's read on, right? And Jehoshaphat said, is there not still a prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of him? He felt like something went cry right here. Isn't there another guy that we can check with too? 400 guys, but one more? What? They must have knew something about this other guy, right? So the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, there is still one man, Micah. Now tell me, if you are a man, a prophet, and your name is in the book of the Bible, like there's a book named after you, I would probably say credible prophets, right? If Isaiah, I'm looking forward to meeting these guys in heaven. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Micah, Nahum, Amos, come on, right? I probably can believe what these men are going to say, right? So Micah is one of those guys. There is still one man, Micah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord. But I hate him, the king said, right? But I hate him because he does not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say such things. Oh, come on, right? Well, you know, let's read on. Oh, no, let's not read on there for a second. Prophets, one of the definitions of prophecy is to exhort, to build up, right? If a prophet speaks something to me and it's not building me up, and I know this is a prophecy of God, who needs to change? The prophet or the man that's being prophesied to, right? So this king was not living a good, holy life. He was living a life of sin and doing nutty, awful, nasty things. So of course, when a prophet comes, he's going to bring you what you would call bad news. Because guess what? And really, it's good news. It's all how you look at it. It's good news if you change, if you repent. But if you don't repent, bad news. Right? Amen. True prophet, right? So here we go. Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, bring Micah, the son of Imlah, quickly. King of Israel had Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, having put on their robes, sat each on his throne at a threshing floor at the entrance of the gate of Samaria, and all the prophets prophesied before them. Okay, so all these 400 guys are continuing on with their shenanigans, really, okay? Now Zedekiah, the son of whoever, had made horns of iron for himself, and he said, thus says the Lord, with these you shall gore the Syrians until they are destroyed. He's making stuff up, just flat making stuff up, right? Saying God said, right? Now that's dangerous territory. The Bible has things to say about people that are prophesying lies, right? And all the prophets prophesied saying, go up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper, for the Lord will deliver it into the king's hand. Then the messenger who had gone to Micah spoke to him saying, now listen, the words of the prophets with one accord encourage the king. Please let your word, now there's the error. There's the error. Somebody say, there's the error. Let your word. Now, if a prophet is truly a prophet, whose word is he bringing? Right? Let your word be like the word of one of them and speak encouragement. And Micah said, as the Lord lives, whatever the Lord says to me, that I will speak. Glory to God forevermore. That is the heart of a true prophet right there. Whatever the word of the Lord is, that is what I will speak. Then he came to the king, and the king said to him, Micah, shall we go to war against Ramoth-Gilead, or shall we refrain? And he answered him and said, go and prosper, for the Lord will deliver it into the hand of the king. You can see he probably came in with all the shenanigans going, and he got a little sarcastic probably with the king right there. Oh, king, just go ahead. Go ahead and prosper, right? For the Lord will deliver it to the hand of the king. So the king said to him, verse 16, how many times shall I make you swear that you tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord? Okay, you want the truth? You think you can handle the truth, Mr. King? All right, here it is, right? Verse 17, then he said, I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains. Now see, a prophet is a seer. He saw something in the spirit. You want the truth, king? Here we go. I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let each return to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did I not tell you he would not prophesy good concerning me, but evil? Then Micah said, therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all the hosts of heaven standing by on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who will persuade Ahab to go up that he may fall at Ramoth-Gilead? You don't think God is involved in politics if people are praying? He can raise up and he can bring down. Amen? So one spoke in this manner and another spoke in that manner. Then a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. The Lord said to him, in what way? So he said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And the Lord said, you shall persuade him and also prevail. Go out and do so. Therefore, look, verse 23, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these prophets of yours, and the Lord has declared disaster on you. Now, if he's a smart king, what would this be to him? A warning. But if you read on, it didn't turn out well for Ahab. He disguised himself just like a regular warrior, knowing they'd be hunting for the king, and went to battle anyway. And it says one of the Syrians, just at random, pulled a bow back and got him right between the armor, killed him. Yikes, man. So see, prophecy of God will tell the truth, will tell the word. What's God say? Not what's popular, not what doesn't offend anybody. Amen? It's what is God saying? That I will say. That I will say. And we'll differentiate between what's true and what is a lie. What is true and what is a lie? Yeah, well, I went to prophecy you. And I have me and these 400 guys, we all graduated together. Who are you to say that, you know, you didn't even spend a day at that place? Yeah, but I spend my day with Jesus. I spend my day in the Word. And this is what I see. And this is what I'm declaring. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. Hallelujah. Just thank the Lord for his words today. And Father, we thank you that you are the God who speaks to us today, just as you always have been, Lord. You speak to us through your word. And the more we spend time in your word and with understanding and praying in the Spirit, we'll be even more sensitive. Somebody say, Lord, make me even more sensitive to hear your words, to speak your words, to believe your words, to act on your words, to be quick to respond when you correct me. Oh, that's a big one. Say, Lord, make me quick to respond when you correct me. I will not dilly-dally. I'll do it right now. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Just welcome the Holy Spirit. Just say, Holy Ghost, I welcome you. I welcome your gifts of prophecy and the discerning of spirits. Yeah. One thing he wants to say to us also today is that your words do matter. Your words do matter. In the story where the king's assistant says, speak your words like the other prophets. The Lord is reminding us, your words do matter. But we need to be saying what God says. What is the Lord saying? And then we have to be people that speak it. That speak it. Say it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Speak my word over your children, over your grandchildren. Speak my words over your businesses and jobs and families. Speak my word over your schools, over your church, over your nation, over your community, over Israel, over the world. Say my words. Say my words. For my words are spirit and they are life. Hallelujah. And I will speak them through you, and you will see the spiritual climate of the Northwest change. Never again say things about the Northwest like, they're just lost. They're just a bunch of unbelievers. Things will never change here. People just don't go to church up there. People just are more interested in weed and false religions and perversions. Don't be saying that stuff. Say things like, in the name of Jesus, the Northwest is getting saved. My family is getting saved. My friends are getting saved. Coming to Jesus, coming to the truth. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And I'm not getting worse, I'm getting better. I'm not getting sicker, I'm getting more healed. I'm not getting weaker, I'm getting stronger. I'm not getting poorer, I'm getting richer. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Just lift your hands and say, Lord, we thank you today. We thank you for all these things, God. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Just say, fill me up, Lord. Fill me up, Lord, with your spirit and with your words. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. There's a sweet presence of the Holy Ghost here. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Kole de shita la babata de kete de. Una le de shito lo vendando. Kosheta la ve bandando kondo. Let it be done, Lord, according to your will. According to your will. In Jesus' name. And thank you, Lord, that your will is not hidden from us. It's in plain sight in your word, by your Holy Ghost. We can know what your will is in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And we'll settle for nothing less. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Praise the Lord. And thanks for coming to church, everybody. Have a blessed day. I think it's birthday Sunday, so there's cake out there and coffee and almonds.